Crossroads East Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
Since 2017, the Irish Penal Reform Trust has been reporting on progress in standards across the Irish penal system. And through its annual report series entitled Progress in the Penal System. And here to join me now on the line, I have Deputy Director of the IPRT, or the Irish Penal Reform Trust, to tell me about, to discuss the findings, I suppose, of this, their latest report. Hello, Molly, how are you?
Good, thanks so much. Good afternoon, and thanks for having us on.
Not at all. Now, you've measured the progress in the penal system against international human rights standards and best practice, covering areas such as prison conditions, regimes, accountability and reintegration. And it's amazing, I was speaking to somebody from Care After Prison just the other week with regards to that sort of, you know, reintegration and helping when prisoners come out. So tell us about this report and what you found, and how bad is the system? How bad are we?
Well, as you've outlined already, so it's a report that started about 5 years ago in 2017. And what we did in this year's report is we took the opportunity to focus on a number of key areas, including mental health, family contact, out of cell time, and the use of the idea of prison as a last resort. And we conducted a review over the past 5 years to see how they have been faring. And unfortunately, what we identified was an overall kind of regress in the penal system, or a stagnation in a number of the key standards, which was obviously disheartening. And we also identified a kind of overarching issue in respect of a lack of data and information and transparency about the day-to-day goings on in our prisons and penal system. I suppose just to highlight two specific findings, you know, one in respect of conditions in prison, we found that a large number of people in prison continue to share cells, which is a matter of concern for us. And we also noted that there continues to be a reduction in the out of cell time that people actually receive in prison, which means that they're spending longer in their cells, and a continued use of solitary confinement, which is a real issue of concern. And then another area was of concern identified was family contact and how that has been affected, in particular by COVID-19, but in general the kind of slow progress in improving situation for families of people in prison over the past 5 years.
Now, you mentioned there about sharing cells. Why are you so concerned about that?
So what we know is that cell sharing increases, well, it increases the risk of tension, because you have to think about it. It could be two or more people sharing a very confined space and who don't know each other, and it can be really difficult. And so it's both, you know, it can increase tension, which can increase the risk of violence within the prison, but it also affects, you know, the dignity of people within prison and their privacy, because it's very hard to share such limited space. And that's all the more difficult when you're spending very long hours on lockup in a cell. And so it's those kind of reasons why we'd be concerned about cell sharing. And what we know is in 2021, approximately 46% of the prison population was sharing cells.
Right, oh my goodness. Now, the only way to address that then is to build, you know, to have more cells.
Well, what we would say is that actually the key way we would want to see that addressed is by reducing the prison population, which kind of ties into another key finding of this report this year, which was that we continue to see over the past 5 years a reliance upon prison and as a response to less serious types of offending. And when I say less serious offending, I mean kind of, you know, public order, social code offences, low-level theft, that kind of thing. And we continue to see people being sentenced to short terms of imprisonment for these types of offences, which we say ends up kind of clogging up the prison system with lots of people who are coming in and out over short periods, and actually does very little to address the underlying causes of their offending, and therefore doesn't do a huge amount to actually reduce their offending in the future, which is, of course, what everyone wants.
Yes, well, this is it. There are other things that they can do for them. They could have them on community service, or, you know, there's various projects that they could be put on if it's, you know, a minor crime, rather than them going into prison, and then that may have them that they're going on to a life of crime, you know, further life of crime, where they wouldn't have if they never actually stepped foot in prison for this minor offence.
Yes, absolutely. And what we know is that reoffending rates are higher. We know this from CSO statistics, Essential Statistics Office, and that reoffending rates are higher for those upon leaving prison than for those who were sentenced to probation. And so it's in the regions of 60-something% versus 40-something percent in terms of the reoffending rate. And we also know that, you know, community sanctions, basically they don't involve the same disruption that a short prison sentence does, which can affect a person's employment if they have it, but also any housing and all of their family relationships and relationships within the community. And that's avoided if we sentence people within the community. And it also enables them to have some kind of supervision or requirements or work being done that actually addresses the causes of their offending, which we often know in our work is linked to issues, you know, broader social issues such as addiction, mental health, homelessness, and that kind of thing. And there's a better chance of addressing that within the community. And I suppose one key thing I mentioned, you know, lack of information and data, that is an example of that in respect of this, because we know that legislation requires courts, when considering a sentence of 12 months or less, to actually consider community sanctions in their place. But unfortunately, that legislation does not appear to have had an actual effect on the number of people being sent to prison on low sentences. And that's a matter of concern, because we don't know why it's not having an effect. And the reason we don't know why is that we don't really have any information, you know, concrete information about what is happening in the district courts where the majority of these types of offences would occur, and why decisions are being made, why people are being sent to prison instead of community sanctions. And if we don't know why, then we can't actually address that issue, and then we can't address, you know, whatever the problem is, if it's a problem with the community sanctions available, or if it's a problem in the communications with court, or whatever it is, but we don't know, and therefore we can't address it.
Yes. I mean, to me, there are various things within prison. They can go to school, or there's various training, but it's limited. So as you say, if they were to be sent, you know, that they're going to a training course, or they're going to a school that's outside, and, you know, given skills to try to get them off the hamster wheel before it begins, it would be so much better. So what then, this report, what then is next? You know, are you going to work towards with the Department of Justice or whatever, you know, towards trying to come up with strategies to help this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I said, we've been running this report since 2017, and we've had really good engagement with the Department of Justice, the Irish Prison Service, the Probation Service. You know, they have really engaged with this report, which we very, very much welcome. And really, it's about just, I think what we've identified in this report is the lack of link-up between policy intentions and practice. And you know, I think I've mentioned this, but it's just, we see a lot of really good policy intention and a lot of really progressive thought, but what we don't see is that then play out in the actual practical day-to-day impact on people who are caught up in our penal system. And a key aspect of this, again, is going to be that information point, which I know I keep coming back to, but it is so crucial. You know, someone at our event yesterday said, what we cannot measure, we cannot change. And I think that really summarizes it. If we don't know why, you know, if we can't understand what is actually happening, then we can't understand or identify what it is that we need to do in order to make the policies a reality. And so I think that's going to be a key area of focus for us going forward, as well as all of the kind of short-term actions and data expectations that we've set out within our report.
And then over this coming year, you launched this report, as you say, it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And then you've this close-up examination of 13 standards. So then for the rest of the year now, you'll be trying to work on those to see where you can implement change, I presume.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll continue to work on these key issues and some of the key actions that we've identified in this report, along with all of the other kind of issues that arise, because the reality is, you know, the original project had 35 standards because it was overarching all the penal system. We took the opportunity this year to try and focus on a select number that we thought were the most important. But, you know, they are all important. And I think a key part for any of your listeners, you know, who are interested in looking up our project and looking at all of the reports, is that it's kind of about seeing the links between all these different aspects. So you see the links between, you know, the community sanction, the reintegration, the sentencing decisions. It's all interlinked, and it's trying to give a kind of cohesive picture to that. And then throughout the year, we focus on, you know, obviously we can't, you know, we're a small team, so we can't do everything at all times, and we're progressing all issues, but we focus on the key ones that we see arising again and again, and then try to identify what actions can be taken and continue to push for that through, you know, various different means.
Excellent. So you say people can see the report, is it? Where can they see that?
So if they look at our website, www.iprp.ie, they will be able to find it. It's on our homepage at the moment. And then if they link through to that, they'll be able to see, you know, you can link through to the previous reports from 2017 and get a kind of sense of, you know, some of the key things that have come up within them. And, you know, what I would say is it is quite a, you know, it's nearly 100 pages. It's quite a hefty report. But I think what it's useful, and this is, lies in the fact that you can kind of open it on specific issues or standards that a person might be interested in, to identify the key kind of findings that we made and the key recommendations that we have made as well. So I definitely suggest to anyone interested to go and have a look at our website.
Very good, yes. And can anybody help or give suggestions or ideas? You know, there may be community people out there working within community organisations who may have ideas on helping with changing things. Can people get involved in that way?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're not a direct services organisation. There is, you know, we're a small team and we focus on advocacy, but we are always really happy to hear from people on the ground as to what is happening, and any, you know, just even to know what is happening on the ground, because that can be a real challenge. But also any ideas or suggestions for work. And we have really good relationships with a lot of the service providers. You know, you mentioned Care After Prison. We'd be very familiar with their work, as well as a number of other organisations. But if there is anyone who is interested in working in this area who hasn't linked in with us, they can always get in contact. And the best email address to use will be info@iprt.ie.
That's fantastic. Great. Thank you so much for joining me this morning to talk about it. And I really hope that there's some change in the penal system. I mean, I kind of feel that it has to start with the sentencing, that, you know, there has to be, there has to be some sort of legislation put in place to have a sentencing that it's standardised, and that certain crimes, minor crimes, are dealt with in a different way, and that, as you say, they can be put out to community or different things, you know, because it's... You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of mentioning that, it is important to note, and you may be interested, particularly that the Judicial Council set up recently a Sentencing Guidelines and Information Committee, which has the exact intention of just doing what you've just described, of setting sentencing guidelines for all ranges of offences to try and ensure consistency and clarity and transparency around how courts make their decisions. So I think that's really important, and as you've identified, would be really welcome.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We hope to see some changes in place, and possibly next time I have you on, there'll be a more positive story to tell, that some changes will have been made.
Hopefully. We always hope.
Well, thank you so much, Molly, for coming and joining me this morning, and the best of luck with all your work.
Thank you.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near